thinking is we've got crazy joy in the room tonight. Woo! Yes, praise the Lord. I think God wants to continue to pour out joy in our lives. Amen. Take our joy to new stratospheres. I love the word stratospheres. New heights of joy. Here's our feeling tonight, our sense from the Lord. It's like the Lord wants to equip us tonight with an ability or the tools to maintain our level of joy in the Lord. Amen? So I'm going to give you some basic thoughts. We're going to do some prayer, have some fun with it, and then jump back into worship. Now here's my experience in life. As we start going crazy after revival, here's my read in the early days. We had all these prophetic words, right? And has anyone ever noticed that typically the prophetic promises from God, they're always positive, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you see, a true prophetic word, I think, should have some positivity to it, okay? Usually, I'm going to say, you know, a higher percentage than negative, okay? If all yours are negative, I would say. Anyways, joy, okay, in the prophetic word. I was a little surprised in life when, as I began to grow in Christ, I was learning all kinds of skills and so forth, you know, in the Lord. We love skills in the Lord. Yeah. I was surprised when things did not always go as well as I thought they would go, or I was surprised to find I still had difficulty, or who's ever had that moment when you thought, man, I forgave you one time, and then you were not nice another time, right? And I thought, like, wow, when I forgave you in the secret place, I thought you were going to magically be transformed, right? Has anyone ever had that moment like me? I was stunned. In my encounter, you weren't changed, right? Not you, okay, but the person, right? And so I had these moments along the way where it's like I would have breakthrough and joy, and I would either have, you know, a pain or a difficulty or a trial, and I was kind of, that hardship caused my heart to kind of have a crash. And then I would kind of get a breakthrough and kind of climb back up again, amen? And then I would kind of have another crash. And so I was like living the roller coaster zone. Who's ever had the roller coaster zone? And then I found it for me, yes, hallelujah, you said hallelujah. Bro, we're riding the roller coaster together, amen?
Tomorrow.
I think the emotional roller coaster we'd like to get off and get on the
zone. Okay,
yeah, like we said, amen, we're getting healed from that. So, what I found was in my, this is probably just from you, not you guys, the more I went up and down, it seemed like my ups became less and my downs became more. Who's ever had that? And I know for me, like my wife will point this out sometimes, she'll say to me, just occasionally, she'll go like, sometimes you're just not yourself. Whoever feels like you're just not yourself, you start to notice it a little bit. And it's hard to diagnose what's going on, but you kind of lose your zip a little bit. I think everyone in the room is capable of zip. Everyone say zip.
Zip.
Now I know you're asking, what is zip? And I'm going to define it. It's a biblical word, okay? It's from the Hebrew. Zip just means like this. I think God's heart is for us just to have a ton of joy.
Yes.
We got joy. We are over here dancing, like a song going on. Who's up in the joy zone over here? Yeah. Come on. So she's bearing witness to me right now. God's desire. She's got joy right now. He's going to say,
it's impossible.
It's like you're leaning on the Lord right now. Jesus is over there somewhere. In this allegory, that's Jesus behind you there. We don't have to change, it's okay. We're all appreciating the joy. Okay, so here's my simple belief. You guys have heard me enough now to know I'm a pretty simple-minded guy. I say God wants us to totally enjoy our life. Yes. Woo! Is that, I feel like that was a radical thought. There's kind of like a stunness in the world. Wow, never considered that. You know, like for me, I know that was an original thought. I grew up in a Christian home, but I kind of had no zip, right? I was kind of Mr. Not Joy. And then the first time someone was like, the Christian life is amazing. I was like, really? I feel like I'm always just like upset about something or sad or discouraged. Seemed like constant trauma was going on in my life. And then that was an epiphany for me, is God's desire was for me to live in joy at all times. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
So my thought is this, is I just thought we'd go after how do we maintain our joy in the Lord, especially as we go hard after revival. Now here's a stunning thought for me. I thought, you know, inner healing. Who loves inner healing? I love inner healing, praise God. Did good things for me. Then I found out, for me, I was like, I don't know why I thought this, but I had this thought that, like, as I became inner healed, the world no longer would, like, it's like the world would magically change around me. Yeah. Does anyone have that, you know, like, yeah, like, I got changed, so probably you got changed too, right? You know, like, so rejection suddenly is going to disappear from the earth because I got healed from all of my past rejection. Probably you guys have never thought about that. But I was shocked the first time I was rejected after I had been healed from rejection. See, anyone? Oh, that was super quiet to see. I'm like kind of nervous. I felt like for me the discovery was like, oh no, the difficulties of life didn't disappear when I experienced around healing. And praise God for truths and principles like forgiveness, right? I think forgiveness is one of the most powerful tools we can have, Christ's powerful weapon. And then I found for me, I was like, well, praise God, I'm armed with forgiveness, and because then I can just, you know, forgive that person, right? So I became like a forgiveness master. Who knows what the forgiveness master is? It's like I was daily forgiving everyone. And then that was exciting for a little while until I realized I felt like I spent all my awake time forgiving everyone. Probably no one does that, right? And then people seemed discouraged when I was telling them about my forgiveness. Like, I was so joyful and relieved. Like, bro, I just want you to know, I had a great time forgiving you today. I bless you in Jesus' name. Probably no one's ever been the recipient of an awkward conversation like that, right? And so if you have, you're kind of like, oh, I know you wanted me to be blessed, but suddenly I don't feel blessed by the announcement that you had to forgive me again. You know, like, what's wrong with me? So I was like the forgiveness master. And then I had this thought one day. I'm just going to read a quick verse. Who loves the Bible?
Yeah.
Quick verse from the Word here. This was a fresh thought for me. It's out of Matthew 5. The Beatitudes, who loves Beatitudes, all the blessed. Right? Amen. Blessed. Okay, verse 10. Here we go. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've probably read that 1,000 times, but never really considered that was true. Amen. And then it says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here's my thought. I had a revelation epiphany. I thought, okay, I think, hang on a second, my mindset's wrong here. I was kind of thinking like, originally, the more I got healed, the less trauma would come. Then I had a revelation. Actually, the more I live for Jesus, the more radically and wholeheartedly I go after him, I should probably expect an increase. Say amen. As I evaluated Jesus' life, right? The more Jesus went public, the less popular he kind of became. Is that right? And so here's my thought. It's not a discouraging talk, but just the revelation I had was I thought, maybe the forgiveness master is not the tool, because here's my simple thought, is I think if I'm constantly in a zone where I need to forgive those who hurt me or insult me, or I have to constantly work through difficulty, I think I become an easy target for the enemy, because he knows all he's got to do is provoke me with a little bit of pain, and then he gets me caught in a cycle of dealing with pain. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like pain, healing, pain, healing, pain, healing. And after a little while of that cycle, you just kind of get tired of riding the roller coaster, like a rover here was like, I don't want on that coaster anymore. Is that right? Amen. So for me, I had a thought. I thought, what if God's desire is actually to bring our heart into a place where we're able to operate in a higher plane above all the rejection, above all the difficulty, above all the pain? And I think that's the key for us to maintaining our joy, is because otherwise, I think the enemy just knows as soon as I work through something, how is it that that one person just knows the right moment to show up in your day? Does anyone know, like, that right person? No one probably has the right person. They're probably not in the room right now. They're in the DTS. Amen? Okay. So it's like, you just got done. There they come. There's the moment. And you're like, okay. And I just sunk right back into where I started again, right? And so the cyclical living, so that for me was a fresh thought. It was like, Lord, could it be? Because when I looked at Jesus' life, I went, well, Jesus didn't seem up and down that way. It seemed to me Jesus had a way of being totally unoffendable. Everyone say unoffendable.
Unoffendable.
So in other words, when Jesus, let's just think through some crazy thoughts here. Jesus was totally misunderstood, probably most by those who were closest to him. But it seemed to me he wasn't totally bothered by that. He kind of understood, it's okay, I know you don't understand, just stay with me right now. His guys were always telling him what he should and shouldn't do. Remember, he would give the speech about where he's going, and then they would give him wild speeches about how he shouldn't do that. So it's like, you know, to me, Jesus was accustomed to being misunderstood. Jesus was totally rejected by those who honestly were waiting for him. So they didn't perceive at all who he was. Right? But to me, Jesus operates at a higher level than that. He's not offended. I don't see Jesus constantly like, you know, like, oh man, I'm just working through it again, bro. Just give me 60 minutes and I'm going to be good. I just want to have a quiet time and then I'll be all restored up and good. I keep pointing at you, bro. I'll take it personally. You're just like, you have like a totally unoffendable like feeling about you. So I'm just loving you right now. So what's that? Oh yeah, he gives you a hard time. So to me, when I look at Jesus, I just came to a place where I went, okay, I think I understand how this is going to work. There's just going to be hardships in the way in the future ahead. But if I can somehow in my heart tap into the unoffendable heart of Christ, like how is it that Jesus hangs on the cross and never even has to dip down into the moment? He has eyes to see, he totally understands, he totally gets it, and he just cries out, Jesus, our Father, forgive him. I mean, God, Jesus, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing, right? To me, that's the epitome of the unoffendable heart. At the worst moment, when it's all going to come crashing down, he perceives it all, and he's filled with radical love for everyone, right? And he's like, don't worry, I know you don't understand, it's all going to work out, God forgive him. He's just not even moved. And I just had the revelation in my life, I just thought, you know what, Lord, I'm too easily provoked by the enemy.
Yeah.
It's like, all he has to do, like, I'm just too thin-skinned. It's like all we have to do is like someone just has to give me a funny look and I'm off into a 4-hour conversation in my mind. Is anyone ever? No. Yeah. Right? You know, like, then I'm over with my bro over here like, man, that guy, this is like giving crazy eyes. You know, and I just feel like, man, what did he mean by that? You know, and now that I think about it, like, he's been a little strange towards me. Since the second I met him. In fact, he's never been normal, you know? And you know what I bet? Like, I bet he's over there. I know none of us do this. This is just an absolute. It's giving grace to get cleaner. But I think that he's like, or I'm like, in my mind, like, that I make up a fantasy conversation that he must be having, right? Probably no one's ever done this. I have an awkward moment with a friend. That's hypothetical. Any of you ever have awkward moments with a friend? Then I see the friend having a conversation. Why is the mind so prone to thinking what?
They're talking about
me.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who has ever your disciple?
No.
And then I'm just totally just run down that path in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Or someone says a comment like that totally has nothing to do with me, but I'm somehow convinced you are saying something. You see what I'm saying? Like, I have a suspicion about that. Like, what do you mean by that, bro? And he's like, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, we were talking about like what we have for lunch. I feel like you meant something by that. This happens to me sometimes. Like, marriage is the best. Who loves marriage? You want to be married, married's the best. Okay, but my wife sometimes, she's awesome because she'll just say to me, like, you're not yourself right now. We make up pseudo names for one another. We have alter personalities. How many of you know you have an alter personality? I got really fired up. You do have an alter personality. Anyways, that's your, like, non-joyful side. So here, I'll just tell you ours so you can laugh at us. But I recommend you making names for your friends. It's a great way to test your unoffendable heart. So So this Sunday at our house, my wife calls me Sergeant Serious. So my wife says, when you're not yourself, it's like my joy goes out the window. I stop singing songs. I don't tell jokes. I just all of a sudden become super serious and introverted and just thoughtful about everything. Probably no one ever does that, right? And then I call my wife, I call her Princess Pounce. She calls herself, my friends who know her are laughing right now, like, because she, you know, she gets a little edge going on. Probably no one here gets any edge, right? And then this is the best, though. I love when my, now that we have children, children are the best because you teach your children things, right, about the Lord, which is really a blessing when everything's going well. It's kind of funny, though, when they start to use that data against you. So this is the best. My six-year-old son now, he'll enter the room, and if you look mad, he'll just say to you, like, you seem angry right now. That's a true story. And then this is classic. Why is it when you're frustrated, you don't want to admit you're frustrated? No, I'm not. So it's like my son just threw down fighting words on me. You know, like, what are you talking about, man? What are you getting at, you know? But then I love my son, like, he's not intimidated or bothered by the moment, you know? So this is classic. My son, he'll just be like, Dad, you, and he says it so just gently, right? Just enough to just cut right to the heart. Dad, you seem angry right now. That's what I'll say. And I'll be like, no. I'm not angry. I'm just a little frustrated. And those are totally different emotions. And then, this is the best, though. He doesn't take that. He'll just be like, no, you really do seem angry. But then this is the best. It's his four-year-old brother has got to get in the game at that point. This is classic. Because then he'll come in and hit you with the next level of truth. He'll just be like, yeah, Dad, anger's not good. It's not made up. These are two stories she asked my wife, right? So then next thing you know, I'm like, my six-year-old and my four-year-old are getting up with me, confronting me on my anger, right? And which makes me manifest my anger more, amen? So this is like marriage, you know, and family and just joy. But then I think friendships are that way. How is it your friends perceive like something's going not right in your life right now? And so who's ever had that moment where you're, someone's like, is everything okay? Totally fine. Why? What's the deal? What are you getting at? You know what you're trying to say? I'm just over here loving God, just doing my best, you know? And so your buddy's like, whoa, time out, gotta go. I'll call you in a week, amen? So here's the deal. As I just thought tonight, it would be so good if we could go after, how do we have an unoffendable heart in Christ?
Come on.
Everyone say unoffendable.
Unoffendable.
But here's my simple experience in life. So many opportunities on any given day to take offense. So many opportunities to misunderstand. So many opportunities to read way too much between the lines. Amen. So many opportunities to be frustrated with difficulty or hardship or whatever. So I just thought, in a lighthearted way, this is the way my wife and I go about it now. We've just determined that in life, it's a good idea just to do an occasional preventative maintenance checkup. In America, we call it like you get your oil changed in your car. Do they say the same thing here? So, like, we've just decided, this is in our house, I highly recommend this practice. We just about every 3 months, we calculate it. We almost schedule it on the calendar. We just go every 3 months, let's sit down and just say, Lord, are there any areas where we are offended? Speak to us, clean our heart out, and our experience is your joy, that's just, it enables you to maintain your joy. Because I find we pick up offense so common, it happens all the time. Like, how many of you know offense is just a way of life for many of our cultures? Yes. Like, we actually champion offendable living, right? It's like, you're actually wise if you live offended, right? So we're trying to get that culture out of our mind and establish a culture of how can I be radically unoffended? Because here's my experience. Okay, we just need you one last crazy thought, man. I think we're going to pray a little bit. Is often I find the things that offend me the most really are silly when I step back and look at it. Like, I have a silly moment with my buddy who totally loves God. Or a silly moment with my wife, you know, something happens. Or a silly moment with my kids or something like that. But then I just come to the point, I'm like, if I'm offended at this moment, how in the world am I going to face the world when they totally rise up against me like Jesus? And there's a disconnect for me at times. Like, I can live totally offended with those who love God and we're running close together and they're my total friends and it's amazing, but somehow I'm going to love a lost world when they don't understand it. And so I think we're rooting out an unoffendable heart. We're rooting out an offendable heart, I think, for just two simple reasons. Number one, so we can just keep our joy really high and honestly just live in radical love with one another. Number two, I just think if our heart is easily offended, I just don't honestly know how we're going to go to a lost world and stay the course. So here's what I thought. Is we just prayed beforehand and got some categories of where there potentially might be, at some point in our life, offense or tension. Amen? And I just thought, let's just go through those together. We'll just give them to the Lord together, and I think God's just going to do a crazy transaction tonight. I believe by faith some of us are going to get joy unlocked like we've never experienced before. You guys up for it?
Yes!
Yes.
All
right, here we go. All right, so here's the first category. Here's a simple thought. No one likes to be rejected. Amen? Does anyone here really enjoy the activity of rejection? Definitely, I do not. It's not on the top of our Christmas list. So I want to give us some categories of rejection. Categories of rejection that I feel for some of us could be causing us to live a little bit on edge. A little bit on edge. Maybe these are for your buddy next to you, and you're going to get to bring some confrontation when you get home today. Okay, here we go. Number one is rejection by our peers or betrayal by our friends. So real simple. Betrayal by our friends or rejection by our peers. Number two, silence and withholding when we have good news. How many of you have ever had the moment, like we have really amazing news, you share that news and there's silence on the other end of the telephone? So here you go, you're like, 4,000 people got saved today. And they're like this. And it's like, I wanted this for how many of us in the room when we really have amazing news? How long is the list of people we can call to celebrate that news with? Or are we like, when I call him, he's kind of mad it didn't happen to him. When I call him, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think what happens is that experience of rejection just leaves us feeling lonely and isolated and like we really are unable to celebrate our heart with anyone. And I think we become offended with people with that. I just think it's an extremely rare thing to have a friend who celebrates with us. I think here's another category of rejection is with authorities in our life. Is how common it is to have mothers and fathers and coaches and parents or teachers, just people who are put in my life by God to be protection and be a source of God's approval, really become sources of pain. Who's ever experienced rejection by an authority? Here's another one. I just think exclusivity is so common in our cultures. You guys know what I mean when I say being exclusive? So I think often our cultures run on, can I be a part of something that's small and tightly knit? And I find, honestly, I think sadly so often the kingdom works that way. Like, hey, did you get invited to the meeting today? No, what meeting? And they're like, probably the total revival is going to come in that meeting. Shekinah glory was going to come down. My life is forever going to be changed, but I didn't get invited, right? So I feel excluded. You know what I'm saying? So I just think for a lot of us, we would just love to be included. And I know for me, that was a huge part of my bringing up. It's always just, and I grew up with Christian buddies, but it was like the nature of our relationship was just about who was going to be included and excluded. I think the kingdom's like that so often. And I think it'd be amazing if our culture was just one of like, everyone's invited to everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I think to me, that's the language of a movement. Because to me, a movement is all about the more the merrier. Exclusivity is some great movement killer, I think.
Wow.
So I think in the church, we've got to drive out exclusivity, number one. Number two, I think we have to get unoffended from all the ways we've been excluded, because I just think it's so common. It's just become our philosophy and our team, our culture and our team. We contend for this, But I think we've had a ton of breakthrough, and I think we have a culture of just like, you know what, if I wasn't invited, it was probably because I didn't need to be there. God's totally faithful. He never leaves a man behind. So if God wants to do it, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And if I didn't get invited, then praise God, probably less work for me to do. You guys have Now that's silly, but that's my view. It's just like, I think, you know, if you just learn not to read into things, we become unoffended, then all of a sudden so much more, it's just easy to flow together. Because I imagine when we're easily offended, everyone's always got to think through all the relational parameters. And then I think the last thing I want to say on this category is I think it just leaves us feeling like there's something wrong with me. Wondering who's ever just felt at the end of the day, like something must really be wrong with me. So here's what I want you to do. Let's all stand up. I want you just for 30 seconds, we're just going to give to the Lord every way we have felt rejected and it's caused us to feel tense or angry or offended with people. Hey guys, on this what we're going to do is just real simple prayers. Just real simple prayers. Here's how we do this. Is we call it relinquishment. Everyone say relinquish.
Relinquish.
So simply like this. It's like I'm just going to give to the Lord all rejection. I'm going to receive total healing. It's by faith. Amen. And then we're going to make, let's just do that for 20 seconds out loud. And then after that together, we'll all make a declaration to be unoffendable. Amen. So let's go 20 seconds of giving all rejection to the Lord. Go for it. God, we just give you all. Okay, let's all pray this together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I commit myself. To being unoffendable.
With my friends and my peers.
They do love me.
Hey,
crazy thought. Sometimes the best thing in my life, you guys are going to think this is crazy. Sometimes the best warfare piece in my life is actually to say out loud, like, they totally love me. And it's the most insane. I know that sounds crazy. But you should try it sometimes. Because the enemy at times, I promise, is begging you to take offense really over nothing. And the best thing you could do is believe the best of people. And we have found in our culture one of the best weapons towards an unoffendable heart is just like believe the best. So let's say my bro, maybe he had a bad day, man. Maybe he just finances totally ran out. Maybe he's totally sick. Maybe he's totally just oppressed by the enemy. I should actually be praying for him. So man, why can he not have grace to just not be himself for 3 seconds? And see what I'm saying? For me, if I can believe the best, then it just makes my heart protected from offense.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm like, that's crazy. My bro truly loves me. He would fight for my life. He'd fight for my family. He'd die for me in a red hot second.
Right.
I know that's his character.
Right.
And even if it's not his character, I'm saying it is his character. You see what I'm saying? So I want to say, I think sometimes in a culture of unoffendable heart, we need to fight for what's true over one another rather than just swallowing the bait so fast. You know what I'm saying? So say this to me. My friends totally love me.
My friends totally love me.
Alright, here we go. Now see? We're into the next category of offense here. Okay, next category of offense that I find in my life is offense towards God. Here's my experience. He totally knows when I'm offended with him, so it's okay to say it out loud, right? So I don't think the Lord's angry. I think he's like, it's okay, let's just talk it through. You'll be better in like 6 seconds, you know? And I'm like, no, I can't be offended with you, God. It's like I've committed the great unoffendable sin. Okay, here's some categories I think offense enters in with God. Here's the question. God, why is this so hard? Whoever has a category of life that feels just unfairly difficult. And I think over time, we pick up offense towards God. Blaming God. Here's some other categories. Offense with God over God's ways of preparing us. How many of you ever feel like the way that God's chosen to prepare you is just totally not cool? Am I the only guy? Yes. Amen. Am I the only one? No, I've got to hit over here. But whoever looks in the mirror at the end of the day and just goes, you know what? All the Bible verses out the window, this is not cool, God. And I just need to say, it out loud to help myself right now. I just think, Lord, there's totally a better way to prepare me. And I have it all mapped out, and it's a lot more fun, a lot cooler, a lot faster. it's a lot more lots, okay? You know what I'm saying? So, I think probably we all have had at least one speech with God like that in our life. And so we just get, I know at times for me, I get tense with God's method of preparation. Because it's not the method I would choose. Who knows, if you ever heard of a guy named Mike Bickle in America, I have an amazing teacher. But he said this line in a teaching one time, it just shattered me. I was like, whoa, we never thought about that. He's talking about David's preparation to be king. And he goes, isn't it interesting that God's highest for David was to select a demonized boss to prepare him? And I was like, whoa. It made me think about all the times I thought I had demonized bosses, which I really did. Some of you in the room like bosses are demonized. But probably compared to Saul, they're like the nicest people on earth, you know? So sometimes we're like, man, my boss is like the worst guy ever. And you're like, actually, he's pretty super nice. You know? He didn't threaten your life today. There were no spears chucked at you, you know? He did pay you. So you're so easily offended towards people, you know? So I just felt like when I heard that on Bickle's tape, I was like, I never considered that. That was a total fresh thought. I think that was like 4 weeks ago. It was not long ago. That stunned me. And I felt immediately like the Holy Spirit asked me, Matt, do I have permission to train you any way I want? Do you trust that I have your highest in mind and that actually I know the best way to get you where I want you to go? So I just really, I don't know why that just revealed to me, man, like how easily offended I am with God's ways. God's timing. Who would love God to move faster sometimes? Everyone say, hallelujah! Okay, next. Finances. Like, Lord, come on, man. I've been making the phone calls. I've been working the job. I've been doing the deal. You said there was going to be breakthrough. You showed that prophetic picture of dollar signs. There were no dollar signs. Lord, bring us the money. And you're like, I rehearsed. You're my provider till I'm blue in the face. Sometimes my speeches aren't out loud because I'm kind of trained better than that. They're internal speeches. But I've just found like the Lord, it might as well be out loud. That's why I just have fun with it. I think the Lord has fun with it. I think in those moments the Lord's like, I'm having a great time. I love you. I'm not discouraged. But I'm going to stay with you until you're having a good time too.
Wow.
Okay, here's another category I think offends with God, not hearing his voice. Who would love to hear his voice more clearly, especially in pivotal times? We just feel like it's like radio silence. Am I the only guy who ever feels like I'm working so hard at this and I really use some breakthrough right now? You know, like, I'm reading the Bible, there's no revelation. Help me, Lord, you know. I did pray and nothing happened, you know. And then here would be another category. I think for many of us, we have actual, legitimate pain and suffering in our life. And we're contending for that suffering to end. Nick talked about this the other night with his mom being sick, you know. You guys remember that moment? And just the frustration, I'm not putting Nick on the spot, I can identify with this, but just, I think for many of us to have real, actual suffering in our life, there, after a little while, you do reach a point where the frustration is in God. Like, God, when are you going to lift this up? So let's all stand up. We're just going to give to the Lord, relinquish to the Lord these categories of offense of God. Let's do this one all together. In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
we ask forgiveness.
We ask forgiveness.
For offense towards you, God.
For offense towards you, God.
We declare we totally trust you.
We declare we totally trust you, God.
Your ways are the highest and the best.
Your ways are the highest and the best.
I ask you, God, to remove every wall on my heart that's blocked me from you.
I ask you, God, to remove every wall on my heart that's blocked me from you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, let's do one more. Stay standing. This one will be fast, okay? We just felt specifically in prayer that we were just to give to the Lord just real categories of trauma and abuse. Trauma and abuse. Some of us have really endured or witnessed people enduring real tragedy in our life. And I think that's significant to God. But we want to give that all to the Lord together. So we're all going to pray this one out loud together, even if that's you don't identify with, we're going to do it as a family. Amen?
Amen.
So let's do this. Lord, we give to you.
Lord, we give to you.
All trauma.
All trauma.
Tragedy.
Tragedy.
Abuse.
Abuse.
Loss.
Loss.
Pain and suffering.
Pain and suffering.
I ask you to heal my heart.
I ask you to heal my heart.
And restore to me.
And restore to me.
Full joy.
Full joy.
Full hope and expectation.
Full hope and expectation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, let's do this last one together. We're just going to give to the Lord now all areas of buried anger. Amen. So we're just rooting out buried anger tonight. And just allowing the Lord to just pull it out and take that joy to new levels. Amen.
Amen.
So here we go. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We ask forgiveness.
We ask forgiveness.
For all buried anger.
For all buried anger.
We receive your forgiveness.
We receive your forgiveness.
Command that anger out of our lives.
And command that anger out of our lives.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's what we want to do. Is I just feel like we're supposed to go into prayer a little bit and then worship. Is the worship team here?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that Sue?
That was me.
Here's what I want to do is I want to have the staff, the DTS staff, from the outreach team here. We're going to have you guys, I didn't worry about this, but we're just going to go for it. Sound good, you guys? I'm just going to have you guys, the whole staff, circle up front here, woo! Facing outward. And here's what I feel like God wants to do tonight, is I just want to make prayer available to everyone in the room. And the DTS staff's going to pray for everyone individually who wants prayer. And here's what you guys are going to ask the Lord for, is just ask the Lord for a restoration of tenderheartedness.
Yes.
Tenderheartedness. Everyone say tender heart.
Tender heart.
They're just going to pray that. And then secondly this, an impartation of total joy.
Woo!
So, other than those, you guys can pray any way you feel led for an individual, amen? But just those are our targets. You guys up for prayer on increased joy and tenderheartedness?